welcome to the post-game show presented by Rico. I'm Bo Wolf. That is the illustrious Adam Kaplan, now of ESPN. Welcome to the show, Adam. The Eagles lose the preseason finale 27-20 to the New York Jets. Luckily, no major injuries. We think the only one we know about, well, two actually. Tight end James Casey had a hamstring injury. He left. And Travard Lindley suffered a leg injury. He left as well. The cornerback situation keeps getting more dire for this Eagles team. But this was an opportunity for players on the roster bubble to make their case ahead of the looming roster cuts. 6 p.m. on Saturday, the roster must be cut to 53 players. Who stood out to you in terms of telling Chip Kelly and Howie Roseman that they want to be a part of this 2013 team?
I think, and when you look at surprises, Emmanuel Acho probably, not only of training camp, but this game tonight, he was all over it. And Chris McCoy has really, I think, played himself onto this roster. They're looking for a developmental outside linebacker who could rush. He did that tonight. I thought he did a great job. There's no question about that. Acho, 7 tackles, a sack, a tackle for a loss, and a hit. I thought he did a great job. He really stood out tonight.
Yeah, absolutely. McCoy had 2 sacks. The Eagles actually had 7 sacks. That was the best part of their game tonight. But for the most part, this was an ugly performance for the backups on this Eagles team. The offensive line did not do a good job protecting either Nick Foles or Matt Barkley. Foles played the entire first half. He was 6 of 17 for 63 yards and a 46.9 quarterback rating. Barkley in the second half, not that much better. 11 for 22 for 110 yards, 1 interception, and a 45.6 quarterback rating. So not a great job to evaluate these quarterbacks. Barkley may not get another chance to play until 2014. That's true. Foles, he has to be ready because we know that Michael Vick sometimes is going to give that opportunity to the number 2 quarterback.
That is true, but I want to get back to what happened, I think, with Foles. And we talked about the offensive line was not very good. I don't know if the receivers, Bo, really got open tonight. I think that's a problem. When you're talking about 5th, 6th, 7th, 8th receivers on your roster, it becomes a problem because their job now is they're playing early in the first quarter when they would really not even play at all or play very late, and they just could not get open. I just don't think they had guys who could get downfield. They had a bunch of possession receivers in the game. I don't want to put this all on Foles. And there were drops. Clay Harbor had 2 tonight. You can't do that. Clay Harbor, who I think is on the bubble for this team as a receiver or a tight end, however they want to use him, not a linebacker. But the fact of the matter is Clay Harbor's been here. This is his 4th year. He's got to do a better job. I thought Michael Bermeiro had some good plays tonight, some plays he'd probably like to have back. But it's funny. You know the Jets can't help it. They blitzed tonight. They had an overload on his side. He did the best he could do. The fact of the matter is, I think this is one of those 4th preseason games where you see a lot of good and some bad.
Absolutely, and we are waiting on Chip Kelly's post-game press conference live from MetLife Stadium. We will bring that to you live here on the post-game show presented by Rico. But as we're talking about, I think the brunt of the blame for the lack of protection for the quarterbacks does go to the offensive line.
Yes.
They couldn't
yes.
fully handle the mm-hmm. blitzes that the Jets were showing. And these are guys who maybe forced into action. We know what happened with the offensive line last year. Those guys have to be ready. Guys like Julian Vandervelde, mm-hmm. if he is the one who wins the backup center job. But Miro on the outside. Alan Barbary, I think, has established himself as the top backup offensive lineman here. But one of the guys who is also squirrely on the bubble is Danny Watkins. What do you make of his future over the next 48 hours?
With Barbary being able to play left tackle, right tackle, and guard, it's going to be hard because Chip has talked about it. Positional versatility is huge. Watkins plays one position in the National Football League. It's guard. He could play left tackle if he absolutely had to, but not. You really don't want to go there, although he was left tackle in college. So, to me, I think Barbary has made this team. He's been a terrific story, a veteran minimum contract, similar to what the Eagles did with Evan Mathis a couple years ago. They just scouted well, and the guy paid dividends, so it's a great job of scouting there. But fact of the matter is, I think it's going to be tough. The Eagles might have to say goodbye to Danny Watkins. We'll find out, as you said, on Saturday, 6 p.m. Eastern.
And we will break down all the machinations of the roster battles upcoming over the next few hours and days until the Saturday cuts at 6 p.m. We're going to go position by position and talk about which guys have a chance to make the team, who are locks, and who may be on the outside looking in. Sure. I would be remiss if I didn't mention the one standout performance on offense, actually 2 standout performances on offense at wide receiver. Jeff Mail, the mailman, the best receiver in Oregon history under Chip Kelly. He had 8 catches for 61 yards, a good job by him. And then if any of you people out there are delusional and sick enough to have a preseason week 4 fantasy football league, Matthew Tucker scored 2 touchdowns.
Can you imagine? And a 2-point conversion, did a nice job. You know, he's been a nice story. It's another undrafted free agent. The Eagles, the last couple years, they've always had some undrafted free agents show up on the roster. Tucker's been a nice story. He's done a very, very good job.
And maybe a chance that the Eagles, with some questions at the back end of this roster, when they're deciding who those last 50th, 51st, 52nd, 53rd mm-hmm. guys are, maybe there's a chance they decide to keep a fourth running back in Tucker.
It's going to be hard because cornerback, when you look at positions on the roster that need depth, that would be the one. They could, they've got to probably add two corners at least right now with the injuries. We mentioned Trevard Lindley. The lower leg injury, which looked bad, he got his foot caught on the turf. They're going to have some work to do, the personnel staff at the cornerback position. Also, maybe a little on the safety. Kirk Coleman had to play corner a little bit late. But getting back to Matthew Tucker, I mean, this is the guy that we heard about in OTAs. You know, but you never know until running backs put the pads on. You can't go crazy when you can't get tackled at the running back. So I thought Tucker did a good job, and he's pushing. There's no question he did a real good job tonight. This is going to be a tough decision right there.
Now, you touched on it at cornerback. The Eagles have lost so many guys who were competing for that third, fourth, fifth cornerback jobs over the last couple of weeks. It began with Curtis Marsh suffering a hand injury. Then Brandon Hughes suffered a hand injury mm-hmm. as well.
Broken hand.
Eddie Whitley, who looked like he was maybe the yeah. riser among that group, he had a knee injury. He was waived injured mm-hmm. over the past couple of days. And then tonight, Trevard Lindley. And that's why we saw tonight Kirk Coleman and David Sims both taking snaps at cornerback on the outside. Now, Jordan Poyer forces the fumble here. I actually thought he stood out among the guys, the seventh-round pick out of Oregon State. I thought he made a good case for himself to be on the roster.
Yeah, and he had to play a lot tonight. I thought Jake Knott showed up once again. Another undrafted free agent find for this personnel staff. And it's Knott was one of those guys that, had he not had the shoulder injury, I think he would have been a fourth or fifth-round pick. He's a very good player, but he's not a nickel pass rusher. He's not a nickel cover guy. He's a first and second down inside linebacker.
Yeah, and there are a bunch of undrafted rookie free agents who have a chance to make this team. I think Damian Square is firmly on the
he's
team.
Been
he
great.
Has played that well. You
yeah.
talk about not Matthew Tobin, the offensive lineman from Iowa. We talked about Bamiro. Russell Shepard has a chance to make this team. There's plenty of guys who really, I think, chose to come here because they knew that this was a new regime. There would be serious looks mm-hmm. at new guys like that, and they made the right decision. A lot of good competition here, and it's going to foster an interesting next couple days.
It will be, because what happens is, just to give you the context of the next 24 hours, the personnel staff will meet very early tomorrow morning. They'll watch the tape together, and then what execs always tell me, players cut themselves by not performing well. They'll identify those players, they'll call those players in. You know, I don't know how Chip wants to do it because he hasn't been here before. Assuming he'll talk to these kids. They'll start announcing cuts late in the day. They'll kind of leak out as they always do. But the bulk of the releases will be on Saturday by 6 p.m. Eastern. And then there'll be some trades. Howie's always making trades, sometimes at the last minute.
How many of these decisions do you think have already been made?
They meet every day. I mean, they probably could name 47 players who have made it. Then it's, you know, you and I were talking about it. It's hard. I mean, it's really hard when you look at the bottom quarter of the roster. Tonight, that tape is going to be very, very integral to those decisions when they sit down. And there's a lot to go through. I mean, there's no question. Acho, before training camp, I didn't think he had a prayer to make it. He steadily got better. Now he's in the conversation. Then it becomes, if they really like him, do they keep four inside linebackers or five? You can't keep five. In fact, some teams, the 49ers last year, kept three at outside linebacker, and they kind of bounced around from three to four at inside linebacker. So it's a tough call. Acho is a guy that is not real big, but he hustles. He's a high-character guy. You'd hate to cut him and see him on another team.
One of the things we always hear about Chip Kelly, what he's looking for in a player, is versatility. You
yes.
talked about it with Danny Watkins.
Yes.
Kirk Coleman playing cornerback tonight. Obviously, you never want to see Kirk yeah. Coleman a cornerback in a game, but is that something that shows an extra value to this team and as he fights for the fourth or fifth safety spot?
Unless his tape was so outstanding tonight, I don't see any way that he'd ever line up a corner. I don't think it has any bearing. Now, if there's a Eddie Whitley type who the Eagles actually had an injury settlement today with, so he won't
right.
be here.
Which that is
guy
too
had
bad
tri-
because he was
did a good job.
He had a great summer.
Yeah,
I was,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah. He was a nice surprise for the team.
Absolutely. He's the one of those guys who I thought elevated his game mm-hmm. above the rest, and
sure.
it was a tough injury, and that's life in the NFL, as is the next 48 hours. And here to talk about the decisions forthcoming for the Eagles team is Chip Kelly.
Well,
looked like Matt Sims had a lot of success against your second team secondary there. Did you see much from your safeties and corners?
looking to see tonight?
No, I mean, they got a lot of reps, so we'll get a chance to look at film and make some evaluations on. That's the group of people we got to make decisions on. So, you know, we're a little short, especially at the corner spot. So Coleman played out there a little bit, but.
Without looking at the tape, I mean, what immediately kind of jumped out at you positively about the team tonight?
I think we played hard, but, you know, way too many mistakes. So, you know, too many drop balls for a fourth preseason game. Very shoddy in protection early. So,
what was the thought process on the punt from the 34-yard line instead of kicking the long field goal there?
We just didn't. Talking to Fip, he didn't want to kick a field goal at that point in time. So.
The second starting safety spot outside of Chum, was that open going into this game?
Yeah, we're going to figure out who it's going to be. We'll make the start at some point.
Did you see either one of those guys stand down?
I looked at the film, so I'm not going to make first glance. We don't come off the field and make decisions on who's going to play what position. So. I don't think we protected him very well. You know, I think a lot of times it was a four-man rush that was in his face and didn't really have time to set his feet. So, you know, we had some protection issues with the second O-line, so it was tough for him.
It seemed like in the first half, a lot of your young linebackers really stepped up, 7 sacks, 4 forced fumbles.
Yeah, some of those guys did show up. You know, McCoy and Everett Brown and Acho seemed like he was around the ball a lot. So, you know, there's a lot of competition, and that's what – when you go into this, you're really hoping guys, when they get their opportunity, and those guys did get their opportunity, which one stepped up and showed what they can do. So,
I think you said you wanted to be too deep, ideally, at the inside linebacker position. So, I mean, did you feel like going in you have Matthews, Acho, and not competing for 2 spots?
No, I mean, we have ideals and whatever, but we got a lot of film to watch on the bus ride home, and then we got a lot of meetings tomorrow, so we'll make a decision on what we're going to do. So.
From Acho,
real smart player, really smart player, you know, and that's the one thing that jumps out at you when you're around him all the time. And you know, he understands the game very, very well. Seems to always be around the ball. If for some reason he's fooled once, it doesn't really seem like it happens again. If he sees the play a second time, he can diagnose it really well. So you know, it's you know, there's a lot of competition there, so it's going to be interesting.
This would be Barkley's last game action for a full year. If you look at the full preseason, where's his development at this point?
I thought he played well. You know, a lot of times, you know, he's still up and down at times, but, you know, I'm excited about Matt's future. So.
I think Billy was Acho's position coach last year, so did that help him at all, you think, just adjusting to the scheme and what Billy wants?
I'm sure he's got, you know, he had a decent understanding of what Billy wants because Billy got a chance to coach him for a year, so I think that's a positive for him. So, but it's not totally what Billy did at Cleveland, so because Billy wasn't the coordinator at Cleveland. So.
Jeff Mail hasn't been here all that long, but is he certainly at the game tonight? Is he kind of a security blanket type for you? I mean, you're very familiar with him.
Yeah, I'm familiar with him. I don't know what you mean by security blanket, but I think Jeff showed, you know, what I think when the trade opportunity came up to get him, what, you know, I think we thought he was capable of doing. So.
Protection issues, did they seem like communication issues or just guys getting beat?
I think it's probably both. You know, sometimes it's a communication issue. It wasn't very complicated what the Jets were doing, though. So, you know, that's the part that's a little bit disappointing. There shouldn't have been many communication problems. It was a pretty vanilla look on both sides. So,
when you guys signed Tobin after the draft, what position were you thinking that he was going to compete at? Or did you plan to play him at both?
We plan to play him at a couple. You know, I think you're looking for versatility, you know. So I think it's, you know, his ability to play tackle. And we know he can play guard. With that position, especially when you're talking backup linemen, they got to be able to play a couple spots. So we felt like he could come in and compete. And I thought he's a kid that's had a really good camp and done a really good job. So.
At tackle, especially at tackle.
Well, that's where he's been in camp. Right. So, yeah, at tackle.
We haven't seen much of James Casey in the preseason tonight. He hurt his hand. What's your take on him?
Well, he couldn't go tonight. So I know we thought we were going to have him, but he went down early. So didn't have the opportunity to get him in there. Thought we were going to get some good reps out of him, but we couldn't, so.
He didn't start
any of the other games, though. I mean, he didn't.
No, Brent Celek's our starting tight end, so.
On your unofficial depth chart, you do have 2 tight ends starting, and he is Casey and Celek the 1, though, so.
Yeah, it depends on if we're starting with 2 tight ends. So if we call for 11 personnel, he's not in 11 personnel. Jason Avant's the 3rd receiver, you know, so.
Deep, there's a few undrafted guys. What do you make of that undrafted class? Do you think there's some
There's a couple guys that got a legitimate shot at making this team, you know, and we're real pleasantly surprised when you get some undrafted free agents that can come in here and compete like that. You know, Knott, Tobin, Chep, Some of those guys have really done a good job. Squire's another guy that did a really good job when they've got presented the opportunity. And when you get here, you know, I told those guys on day one, doesn't matter if you got drafted or weren't drafted. If you're here now, you know, what are you going to do? Are you going to take advantage of your opportunity? And I think those are a couple guys that have. So, you know, we'll see if it's enough to make the team. So,
how much does a game like this tell you about your depth? I mean, you got reserves on both sides, and obviously these guys haven't spent a lot of time together. But what does that tell you?
I think it tells you a lot. I mean, guys got an opportunity to play, and we told them, you know, I've told these guys every chance you get a chance to compete, you got to go out and show it. You know, so, you know, if your mindset was, well, it was the fourth preseason game, it's not that important, then it may be too late for you because it is very important for them. So whenever you get a chance to put yourself on tape, you get a chance to show everybody. We talk about putting yourself on tape as your resume, and, you know, we have to make decisions based upon what you do on tape, not based on what we think you can do. You know, based upon our confidence, got to be based on demonstrated ability that we've seen. So,
how do you feel about the development so far of Bamiro and Moma? I mean, those two guys who came as real considered projects and very raw.
Two totally different guys. You know, Mo. You know, obviously, I think the layoff was the biggest thing with Mo because of his injury at Boston College. But and then Mike's a totally different story. You know, coming on late. You know, didn't even go to a school that had football when he started, and then ended up at Stony Brook. So I think both of them are very raw, but I think they've got upside. So,
how has Danny Watkins progressed this summer up to this point?
Danny's competing like the rest of those guys up front. You know, there's always really some good out of Danny, but there's also some mistakes out of Danny. So, you know, I think it's going to be a battle. You know, when you feel good about your five, but then where are we going to be, and then how many are we going to carry? I think is what it's going to come down to. So,
does Coleman playing at cornerback, does that show his versatility, or is it just kind of like you're just filling in?
We were trying to get out of a game, but I think, you know, it does show Kurt's versatility because he's the one guy that we felt that out of the safety grouping that was playing tonight that we could throw out there. So, you know, I think the one thing I know about Kurt's a football player. You know, and he whether it's covering kicks or special teams or things like that, you know, you're always going to get maximum effort from him. He's a guy that doesn't matter if it's practice, doesn't matter if it's a game, he's always going to play hard. So
obviously that helps his standing, I guess, that he can do both. Or
yeah, I mean, I would hope we weren't going to play Kurt at corner. You know, that's not really our plan, but we know we can get out of a game with it. I hope we get a couple guys back healthy and can get our corner situation solidified. But, you know, our thought isn't we're going to carry four corners and one of them is going to be Kurt. You know, Kurt's a safety.
How about a guy like Clay Harbor? Have you seen enough from him as a wide receiver to, you know, be versatile enough? Have you feel comfortable enough to put him at that spot?
We've seen enough to evaluate, you know, so. But I'm not, you know, going to tell you what our 53-man roster is. We're going to go home and watch all the tape and evaluate it and then sit down as a staff and make decisions on how it's going to fall, so.
Did you go into this game thinking X amount of spots are open on the 53, Y amount of players are already on the roster?
Are you going like geometry on the
No.
What's a given and what's
yeah,
not
like,
given?
Yeah, like there's this amount of spots open.
You know, there's certainly guys. I mean, I can tell you who our five offensive linemen are, and I can tell you who our quarterback is, and I think McCoy's going to be the running back. Yeah, so there's
the number you have in mind for the amount of open spots there are in the 53.
I don't have a number. I mean, so, but I mean. Didn't take a real intelligent guy to see the guys that weren't dressed tonight. Probably I would venture to guess the given would be that the guys that weren't dressed and played in the game were probably going to make the 53. So,
does a game like this make it easier to make decisions?
I don't know. I don't know if it makes it easier, but it gives us another opportunity to evaluate. So, you know, sometimes when some guys' situations where, hey, we haven't got a ton of snaps out of them. You know, when some of those guys got, you know, played an entire game tonight. So I think, you know, it gives you a better opportunity to evaluate. You know, maybe he hasn't been in that situation in the first three preseason games, but you hope that expressed itself that he was in that tonight. So.
Thanks.
All right, and welcome back. Good stuff from Chip Kelly. I think he talked about pretty much everything we talked about.
Yeah.
Good job by you, Adam, previewing that press conference. And as Coach Chip Kelly said, tough decisions to be made over the next couple days. Saturday at 6 o'clock p.m. is when the roster needs to be cut to 53 players. 75 guys on the roster now, so we will see plenty of action over the next couple days. Back with more on the postgame show presented by Rico, Bo Wolf, and Adam Kaplan.
Out goes Vic. He dumps it off to McCoy, makes a man miss, comes to the 10, the 5, touchdown! Shady McCoy!
Hi, I'm LeSean McCoy, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com. Back in the day, I busted up some plays. But you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow, that's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
Eagles fans, this is John Dornbos. How would you like to be an official photo with the Philadelphia Eagles? Be a guest reporter working on Eagles home games, or even attend Super Bowl 48? Be sure to listen into the Eagles Radiothon on Sports Radio 94 WIP September 3rd and 4th, and all the proceeds will benefit Eagles Youth Partnership.
We'd love to hear what you think about the X1 platform. Give me something to search.
Mindy Kaling.
Sure, let's do that.
Awesome. It's everything me all in one place.
Check this out. This is great. What should I watch?
The Mindy Project.
Okay, I wasn't even asking you. The X1 recommends things based on stuff I've watched. So.
The Mindy Project.
Okay, you can search by genre if you
Mindy Kaling cute. Okay, I'm just gonna take this. Mindy Kaling sexy.
Recommendations, search, and voice control. All part of the X1 platform. Your entertainment operating system. Only from Xfinity.
Together we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets. Which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed. With your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
These days, you can find me on the road, at the movies, shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
What celebrity do you get mistaken for?
Oh, well, this will be a Napoleon Dynamite for sure.
You don't want to get an animal into a camera shot with you because you have no idea what they're going to do. Right. It seems to me like you haven't been in the league that long, and yet now you're the old man. Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
What do you miss about football?
Besides the paycheck?
You probably would have got smoked, Doc.
Bam!
And welcome back to the post-game show presented by Rico. Bo Wolf and Adam Kaplan taking your phone calls. Tell us what you think about the upcoming roster decisions. Who's on the bubble? Who do you think makes it? 215-320-5170. That's the number to call. I had to look down because
it's a new one?
It's a new number this year. So what do you know?
New
set, new number. Give us your phone calls. Now, Adam, I know that you have thought a lot about the 53-man roster. You've done your projections. Yeah. I've done mine. It's up in the air, but we want to go into the nitty-gritty. Let's go position by position and talk about the decisions that need to be made here. Now, an easy place to start is the quarterback position. Michael Vick, Nick Foles, Matt Barkley, I think those are your three quarterbacks. The one interesting thing here is that Dennis Dixon and G.J. Kinney both have practice squad eligibility. We know that Chip likes to have the option of having an extra quarterback in practice. It gives him a little flexibility in what they can do at practice. Would you be surprised if Dennis Dixon or G.J. Kinney were signed to the practice squad?
And Dixon and Kinney have that ability to move. And coaches call it the look team. And it's very important to have a quarterback in today's NFL that can run the read option. You know, let's say they're going to have someone be on the scout team and say, hey, listen, we want you to run. We want you to be Robert Griffin III.
Well, let's say that maybe in week one you're
Dennis
facing
Dixon
the
could
Washington
be that guy.
Redskins.
Yeah, that's why I brought it up, my
Can
friend.
Can Dennis Dixon play
that
Robert Griffin?
That is where I was going. Thank you. Took the words right out of my mouth. So could Kinney do it? Well, yeah, and that's one of the reasons why he's here, because he's athletic. But Dixon would be that guy. And I have to think when Chip Kelly got him in here to entice him to come here, he had to offer him some kind of role, possibly. You know, he didn't know then he was going to draft Matt Barkley, but this gives Dennis Dixon an opportunity to stay in the National Football League. So let's keep an eye on that for Sunday at 12 Eastern when the Eagles name their, or start naming, their practice
squad. When you talk about Dennis Dixon as a look team quarterback, He is a Super Bowl winning look team quarterback.
Yes.
He did Colin Kaepernick ahead of the
you
Super Bowl
for
the Baltimore Ravens.
Good job by you.
The guy knows what he's doing if he's the one you want to bring in. All right, our first phone caller of the night, Carl from D.C. Carl, what do you got?
Hey, guys. How you doing? Adam, great to see you.
Thank you. How are you?
We can't see you, though, unfortunately, Carl.
We can hear you.
First time I've gotten through this summer, although I stick to Eagles, PhiladelphiaEagles.com like glue. That's the only way I keep up. I got to say, I like what I'm seeing all through the preseason. I like the excitement. And better yet, I see a lot of players, as we say, playing on their toes, not back on their heels. And it looks to me like the players have bought into Chip Kelly's system. And I'm feeling excitement there that I haven't seen the last few years. And I like what I'm seeing. I think it's going to bode well this season and going forward. The defense, though, has me a little worried.
Well, I don't think there's any question that the expectation for this Eagles team is that the offense is a little bit ahead of the defense, but the defense has some things that they're going to grow into, but obviously everybody is excited to see what this Chip Kelly offense can do in the National Football League.
I will ask you two questions. Do we see
Bring it on.
Both Vinny Curry
that's a big one. And what's the second player?
Who are you talking? Brandon Graham, Clifton Gethers. So you going after?
There was a couple of defensive linemen that were bought back last year. Thornton's one, but I know he's injured. But there was another
Thornton's not injured. He's all right.
He's fine.
He's
just going to start.
He just didn't dress
he's gonna
tonight because he's a starter. Mm-hmm.
Or is it Hunt?
I'm sorry?
Is it Hunt that got injured?
Oh, Hunt.
Yeah, he tore his ACL.
He was on injured reserve.
Yeah, he's done.
How many defensive tackles do you see them keeping? I really want to see Vinny Curry make this roster.
That's tough.
He's done it. The other surprise is Barwin, who has played well.
Barwin's played very well. He's the natural 3-4 outside linebacker.
He's the other one with the
experience.
He's the
one who gives you some versatility.
Right. Here's what I think. I think they're going to keep 6 defensive linemen.
And thanks for the call, Carl.
Yeah, I think when we examine the roster, you can't go more than 6. I think 6 is perfect.
Defensive line?
Yeah. And
I've got 7.
Do you? Really?
I do.
Who is your 7th, my friend?
Well, I've got the 3 starters.
Yes.
I've got Vinny Curry.
Yep.
And then
Curry on
the
there.
Guys
okay.
who have been the second team defensive line. That's Benny Logan, Damian Square, and Clifton Gethers.
7, I think boy, that's
one of the, listen, that okay. defensive line is the one of the strengths
oh,
of this football
it's
team.
It's the strength
of
the
defense.
No question
So you
about
go heavy where your strengths are.
But they also could trade from strength to another 3-4 team. Now, the question for Vinny Curry is he even going to dress on Sundays? Now, I understand he was a second-round pick. You really don't want to give away a second-round pick for, let's say, like a fifth-round pick. So you'd rather him be on the roster to help someone else and not get good value in return. Maybe if you're the Eagles and you're not sure exactly what you're going to do with Curry, you shop him a little bit. This is me speaking. I'm not speaking for them. I don't know what their plans are for him yet. But with Curry, this guy's really a 4-3 DN.
But he's been so impressive
I know.
In the preseason
he flashes,
playing a 3-4.
I understand that. He flashes. How much could he really contribute? You're not going to dress a 7th lineman. The guy's not even going to contribute.
No, but there are 8 guys who are not going to dress, so that's fine.
My point is, what is the guy's a second-round pick. He's not going to help you not dressing. To me, you look to move him.
Maybe
you got to get value
dress.
For the guy.
That's the thing. He was so impressive in the preseason.
I understand that, but the other guy – now.
And what happens if Cedric Thornton gets injured or somebody else?
I understand that, but here's where he has value. Here's where he has value. Out of the group of 6, he's the best pass rusher.
Sure.
Of the 6 who are probably ahead of him. That's where he has value. He can rush the passer. You can have a nickel. If he's going to dress, you can have him as a nickel guy. Okay? Now, also, when they go to their 4-3 package, he clearly could play with his hand down. So
sure.
There is some versatility. It's a tough call. Listen, you and I are debating this. Imagine what the coaches and the personnel staff is going
to
be doing.
To me, it comes down to this. Vinny Curry is one of the 53 best football players on this team.
I'm not doubting that for a second.
So that's
an overabundance
that's
of defensive linemen, which
that's
I would tell you, coming into training camp, I don't know if they had 4 that could stick, but they've been so impressive. That's been one of the biggest surprises
this
football team.
This is a long-term plan for the Eagles,
mm-hmm.
and you retain the talented players. Okay?
So you're going to
keep.
That's
what I say.
Our coach over here wants 7. You got it.
That's all right. All right. Back to the phone lines. Ron from Virginia. Ron, what are you looking for the next couple days?
I'm looking for an excellent team, Bo. Good to see you again. I thought you guys were Wall Street brokers there for a minute.
Oh, well, thanks. I guess that's a compliment.
Yeah. Hey, look here. I pulled my crystal ball out. So if you guys want to know who's on the bubble and what my thoughts are,
sure.
Ask the name and position. You got
All
it.
All right, let's go. We
defensive line. Bo says seven. I say six. What do you have?
I got seven.
Okay.
You know what, Ron? You sound like a very smart guy.
I would tell you this, though. Remember, Sunday is when you see guys who are told they bait a team. The
sure.
next day they could be traded.
Happened to Cedric Thornton 2 years ago.
So you have to be careful. But Cedric Thornton now is really a good football player. Two years ago,
I called Cedric Thornton on a Saturday night, the day he made the roster. He was so excited. I did a story on him. The undrafted guy from Southern Arkansas makes good. And then the next day he was released. Poor guy.
So you never know. We have to mention that.
You never know. Now he makes it. Travard Lindley has been cut two years in a row on the day after the cutdown date. So you never know. You're never safe in the NFL. Ron, what else you got?
Yeah, Acho, I thought, played an outstanding game tonight there. And also the number 54, I forget his name.
Jake Knott.
Yeah, those Acho and Knott stood out more so, unfortunately, for Casey Matthews. So those guys really have it. Casey, I believe, looked like he lost a little bit too much weight there and everything. He was just being pushed around all night there.
The one plus for Casey Matthews, I will say. Now you're right. Acho had a great game tonight, led the Eagles in tackles with 11. Jake Knott had 8 tackles. He was around the football as well, had a couple tackles for loss. The one thing that Casey Matthews brings among those three guys is he's the best coverage inside linebacker. Mm-hmm. So that would be his sticking point. That's his selling point for being on the roster. But in terms of coming forward, I think that tonight he was at least behind the other two guys.
Bo, your last assessment of being the best cover guy, is that your assessment, personal assessment, or you want my factual on that then now?
I believe that is his reputation on the team.
Okay. I'll give you a pass there since I just met you in person for the first time in Jacksonville, so I'll give you a break there.
All right.
Yeah. But the wide receiver is going to be tough there, and
sure.
I guess Clay Harbor was up there, but he had a couple of drops tonight, so I'm not sure where his stock stands right there now, but they need him because I think he has very good speed, good hands, and they need his size there. And I think Russell Shepard needs to make the team because he's almost a one-for-one match to replace Mack. If you look at him, they're both the same height, same weight. They got similar catching ability and speed.
I think that's a bit high praise for Russell Shepard. I like the guy, but telling me that he's going to step right in for Jeremy Maclin might be a little much.
Well, it's like this. You know, if the Eagles, if McCoy had never gotten hurt last year, we never would have known how good Bryce Brown would have been because he'd have been on the bench. So I'm saying is if Belichick up in New England can stick some rookies in there, I think we need to take a chance ourselves there.
All right. Well, I like what Russell Shepard brings to the table. And, Ron, I like what you brought to the table. Thanks for the
good
phone call.
Yep.
Listen, wide receiver is going to be very interesting. And as he talks about, Clay Harbor, 2 drops tonight. Salas had a drop. You never really know how much to factor in the fourth preseason game versus all the other opportunities that the Eagles have had to evaluate these guys in practice in the other 3 preseason games. It's tough to tell how much to weigh tonight's performance.
Yeah, a couple things. The Salas drop is when he dove for the ball. The ball was away from his body. You would hope he would catch. It was not an easy catch. But I think when it comes down to is this with receivers. What does each one give them? Special teams ability, which is really huge. Because if you're gonna be a sixth or a fifth receiver, you better play on special teams.
Well, and Shepard is the better of them in terms of special teams. He is one of, I believe that Dave Phipps said, he is one of their 2 best gunners.
It's amazing already that's he's got value more than Salas, who plays specials, but he's not one of their.
But I believe that Salas is a better pure wide receiver right now.
He is. He's also a guy who's been around for a couple of years. He's bounced around, and he may have been able to find a home here. It's going to be interesting. You and I have been debating through the game who might stick and who might not. The receiver position is a tough one because you want to dress 5 on game day, and Demaryius Johnson obviously is going to have a dual role, and he's been a great story. He's had a big impact, I think, on special teams as a slot receiver. They're going to move him around. It's another thing, and I definitely want to talk about this before we get off the air here. There's so much we have not seen from this offense. I cannot wait to week 1 against Washington because, you know, you don't want to run a lot of the stuff. We think that we know what we're going to see. We have no idea. As the players have told me.
I have a huge smile on my face right now because you're absolutely right. I believe that we have not even scratched the surface of what we're going to see from this offense. I think we've seen about 5 to 10% of what we're going to see
That's
in the regular
it?
Season. That's what I think.
Wow. Okay.
And I cannot wait for Monday night against the Washington Redskins. We'll talk a little bit more about that. Also, some big news in the division tonight, which
The
Giants had their big running back competition. David Wilson, the explosive second-year running back out of Virginia Tech, he was competing with Andre Brown. Was such a feel-good story last year. Well, Andre Brown broke his leg tonight, so he's probably going to be out for the season. Yeah. And that means that David Wilson has the job mostly to himself. They may look for some veteran help to be there in pass protection, but David Wilson is he's a bit scary to me. He's very, very explosive.
Before we get to Anthony's call, I have to mention this. Andre Brown is so important to what they do. He's their third down back. He's excellent pass protector. He's their short yardage back. He was unbelievable at the goal line. This is a killer, killer injury, and that's going to hurt the Giants, no question about it.
All right, back to the phone lines. Anthony from Rhode Island. What's going on, Anthony?
Rhode Island. Come on. Long Island.
Oh, Long Island.
Long
Hey,
Island.
That's not on me. That's on the producers. I'm throwing them under the bus. But that, Anthony, that is a nice deep voice that you're bringing to the table.
I'm sure you would have got Long Island after I spoke a little bit.
That's all right. That's all right.
What's up, man?
Guys?
Our apologies. The home of Ifeanyi MoMa.
Well, listen, it's Giant country here, and I hate the Giants, so it's fun battling with these guys. I think we're going to have a good year against them. But anyway, what I saw today as far as linebacker,
Chris McCoy, yeah.
Chris McCoy, two sacks. He did drop the interception. Now, we should also mention Everett Brown, who's also competing there. He had two sacks of his own.
Yeah, I mean, what stood out to me, I mean, I saw McCoy all over the place. Curry, I love Curry. I'm with you, Bo. I think this guy it should make the team, definitely. But as far as safety, I'm sorry, but Nate Allen, bye-bye. I'm not sold on Nate Allen. He hasn't done anything, and I feel like he's never looking back when the ball's coming. He's out of place. I mean, what's your take on that, Adam? I'd like to hear your...
That's a good question, Anthony. I'll tell you, there are going to be some tough decisions. I mean, we've been debating all night, and five or six players I just can't make a decision on. Everett Brown flash. He's had two really good preseason games. He's not used to covering. I had a long talk with him a couple weeks ago, and he was talking about that. He did when he was with San Diego, learn how to drop. That was what he got out of it the time he spent with the Chargers. That's going to be a tough call. I think Chris McCoy has really helped himself. I think that they're not only going to keep four, they might keep five outside linebackers. The Curry one, I'm on the fence only because it's seven defensive linemen's a lot. And it gives you a great rotation. Obviously, that's a big thing. To be able to roll those guys in is big.
Well, Anthony is asking, I think, about the safeties. He's asking about Nate Allen. Anthony, my question to you, if you want to throw Nate Allen aside, are you comfortable starting a fifth-round rookie next to Patrick Young in week one?
That's the problem, Anthony. They're not deep at safety.
I know. But I just like a grit right now. I want monsters at the safety position. And I think, I you could have laughed, but I think Anderson is he's a guy that... he's going to hit you.
He can hit, Anthony, but the problem is he's very limited. Like, you can play him, for about 10 to 15 snaps at safety, and he'll hit someone, and he'll get in the... Another thing he's great is anticipation in the backfield. Uh-huh. He'll diagnose, and he'll... I know exactly what you're talking about. He did this last year. But the more he plays,
he's
the more they
expose... He's coming forward.
Right.
Yeah.
You can't have him out there a lot. You're looking for a thumper. I don't know if they have that guy, although they love Earl Wolf. He's very smart.
Yeah.
He's a long way to go. Nate Allen, since he tore his patella, has not been the same player. He was so good before he got hurt at Giants Stadium.
Yeah,
he looked like he was going to be the next really good Eagle safety. He's never been the same.
He's never been the same. But overall, my assessment on the Eagles this year is, let's call it what it is. They need to score 30 points a game. They score 30 points a game, they're going
to
win.
We've been talking about that all offseason. They're going to have to win some games 30-27, 35-30.
That's the bottom line.
And I think they can. I'll tell you what, this offense, and I can't wait to see it week one, because I don't know really what we're going to get. And that's actually a good thing, because no one knows.
I think there was a lot of vanilla, during the preseason. I think there's going to be a lot of fun stuff in the playbook. I'm really excited. And I think they bought in. The team's bought in. I think it's going to be a fun system. But like I said, we got to have to score a lot of points this year. But I still think we could take the division, if we...
It's not a great division. Hey, I'll tell you what, Anthony.
I believe it's there for the taking.
It might be the worst division in the National Football League. It's just a bunch of 8-8 teams. I think the Eagles will be around 8-8.
Yep.
Well, how do you measure divisions versus a division like the AFC West that could have one 12-4 team
and three other
teams who are less than five wins?
I think Kansas City is going to surprise you. That's one of my surprises. I think they'd be 9-7. After two wins.
Good for him. Well, as long as they don't win, it's for Jarvis.
I'm sure you know this stat, but 5 years in a row, the team that opened up with the Eagles gone on to win the Super Bowl. So
is that right?
Put the some money on the San Diego Chargers.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so the home opener.
That would make the San Diego Chargers your AFC representative in the Super Bowl. So gotcha. Yeah. Thanks for the call, Anthony. Good stuff out of you. I wanted to talk about the receivers because the question is, after we're talking about how much you weigh tonight's performance, is Jeff Mayle now making a push for
a roster spot? He did a real nice job, and I know he knows Kelly's system. That's why he's here. This is a guy that I thought they would actually would trade for. Then he had a minor hamstring injury in OTA, so I kind of waved it off. But it's hard. I mean, because now what you're saying is, based off one game, all of a sudden he's going to push Russell Shepard or Greg Salas. Maybe Greg Salas off the roster just because he has experience of the offense. It's a good comparison. Salas, who's more of a slot receiver, to Mayle, who could play inside or outside. He's a good special teams player. I still think Salas has got a little bit more value. He's been in the league longer. He's actually played in games. Mayle has very little experience. I think Salas has got to have the advantage.
All right. Well, still much more to unpack here when we talk about the position breakdowns on the other side here on the post-game show presented by Rico. Also, still taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170. Bo and Adam Kaplan.
Download the Eagles mobile app for the latest news, videos, stats, and more. Available now for iPhone, Android, and BlackBerry devices. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/mobile for more.
Caramel mocha.
Caramel almond.
Caramel turtle.
That would have been awkward.
With Dunkin's caramel iced coffee flavors, there are more ways than ever to love caramel. Try the new caramel coconut today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Hi, Eagles fans. Brent Celek here. Join me for a round of golf at the world-famous Marion Golf Club. Win this and many other exciting items by tuning into the 2013 Eagles Radiothon on Sports Radio 94 WIP September 3rd and 4th. All proceeds benefit Eagles Youth Partnership.
When you experience something great, you want to share it with everyone. That's why more customers recommend Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Countless reasons, one choice. That's powerful. Verizon.
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
Ready for a little fun? You could scratch your way to instant winning. Play the Pennsylvania Lottery's new instant game, Gold Rush, with 15 top prizes of $300,000. It's kind of fun to make a splash. Keep on scratching.
Grandma, your biscuits are the best.
No, these are from Dunkin'.
Granny!
I have a life, you know. That's for me.
Dunkin's new chicken biscuit sandwich is a tender chicken filet on a southern-style biscuit. Grab one for $2.99 today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Teva Pharmaceuticals is the proud sponsor of Eagles in the Community. For more information on the program, click the Community tab right here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We had a great 2012 and look forward to an even better 2013. Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Eagles in the Community.
And back on the post-game show presented by Rico, Bo Wolf, and Adam Kaplan. And we go back to the phone lines. Our old friend, C. Lee from Virginia. It's a new season, but an old friend. What's going on, C. Lee?
What's up, fellas? What's up? Just excited about a new season, as you said.
Absolutely. So who are the guys that you are most paying attention to over the next couple days to see if they make it onto the 53?
Yeah, I mean, a couple guys I was looking at this game that I think definitely made either, a good or a bad case was Casey Matthews, Jake Knott, the guy McCoy. You know, I don't think we're going to keep four running backs, but Tucker played well. Somehow you can stash him on the practice squad. But I think, you know, McCoy and Knott played good. Casey Matthews made a couple good plays and bad plays, but just excited for a new season.
Absolutely. What's your predicted record for us, Sealy?
You know, I don't know. I remember going through last year with Kaplan and Adam. And
I remember this call.
But you know what? I'm kind of done picking. I'm just gonna go one game at a time.
You know what? That is the way to take it. All right. So what do you
good
got? 1-0.
Hey, 1-0. I'm hoping to maybe be there Monday night. I'm looking to get tickets, and that'd be awesome. I want to be there the first game of Chip Kelly era.
Very cool, man.
I'm gonna be there week three when you know McNabb and Andy Reid comes back to town. So just. Be good years.
Very cool.
All right.
It's exciting. It's a new era here at the Eagles with Chip Kelly as the head coach. It's Monday night, and Robert Griffin III announced on Twitter that he's finally been cleared by Dr. James Andrews, and which we knew was coming. So that ends that thing, and we look forward to week one. But before we get to that, let's talk about, Bo, some of the other positions. Before we get out of here, cornerback, where are we going here with this thing? What do you think?
Well, listen, we've talked about the attrition here at cornerback. You've got three guys who are locks, I think.
Yeah.
The two, Kerry Williams and Bradley Fletcher and Brandon Boykin, who's had such an impressive summer. But then who else are you keeping? Are you keeping four? Are you keeping five? All these other guys now have injuries. Brandon Hughes has a hand injury. Curtis Marsh has a hand injury. Travard Lindley has a leg injury. And Jordan Poyer does not have an injury. I apologize. He flashed tonight. Mm-hmm. He's a physical cornerback.
Yes.
He's maybe lacking a little bit in deep speed, but he's quick. He comes forward well. Mm-hmm. I think he's in pretty good position, but really we don't know.
And only because of injury.
This is a position where, and I'll ask you about this, I believe that this is one of the positions where the Eagles will keep a very close eye on the waiver wire from around the league on Saturday.
Three things will happen. They will look for trades. They will look for the waiver wire. The waivers will run on Sunday. They could claim someone at 12 o'clock Eastern on Sunday because the cuts will be on Saturday by 6 p.m. Eastern. Or, obviously, tomorrow, which is Friday, when teams will start actually cutting players, you could see a veteran. If there's a veteran cut they like with size, they'll look to sign him. I mean, they know they need experience here. This is a position, if you look at their defense, there's one glaring weakness. It's at cornerback. It's obvious. Everybody knows it. So teams are going to go after it. And the Redskins in week one, they like to throw the ball downfield. The Eagles just have a lack of depth at corner. It's going to be interesting to see what they do to match up because they have an abundance on their defensive line. There are plenty of 3-4 defenses out there that don't have the depth that the Eagles do. So that's where you can maybe match it up.
Where else, position-wise, do you think the Eagles will be looking for maybe some outside reinforcements?
I think outside linebacker, inside linebacker, veteran with size, if there's someone out there. Right now, I've gone through my best available free agent list. There's no one they could even possibly look at. It's a lot of guys who are older can't run at all. But this is what final cutdown day is. And the good thing about the Eagles situation, they're in great cap shape. They don't have to cut anyone. You know, they've got about $21 million as we speak. So they'll be fine when all the salaries count on Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern. They have to get all teams have to be in cap compliance. But the bottom line is, defensively, they have some work to do, and they could trade again from strength on the defensive line.
So, Adam, we are 11 days away now from the season opener Monday night at 7 o'clock against the Washington.
It's an odd time. Is it like what is it?
It's a 7 o'clock game because they play a doubleheader on Monday Night Football.
Very
so
early.
We know now that Robert Griffin III is going to play. Mm-hmm. We know. We're going to see this exciting Chip Kelly offense. There's going to be the curtain unveiled, I think. We're going to see stuff we have not seen in the preseason.
Yeah, can't wait for that.
I think we're going to see things we haven't seen in the preseason from the defense as well. What
Good
are you
point.
Expecting come the season opener against the Redskins?
And let me add this question. How much for the Redskins will they run the pistol and read up?
How much are they going to give the Eagles defense an opportunity to hit Robert Griffin?
That's my question. This is during the NFL Insider Show. That was the focus of our first segment.
Oh, do you appear on that show?
Yes.
Oh,
I want to mention that.
Adam Kaplan, ESPN.
The reason why I am is that was a $1 million question. Jarrett Bell and I kind of went back and forth on it. I think it's a tough call. You made a great point. Do you want to expose him? Because I met with a defensive coordinator for 2 hours at the combine who told me they're going to hit the quarterback. Any team that runs a read option, they only have one choice. When that quarterback has the ball, he's a runner. They know the rules. They're going to hit the guy.
And, well, and of course, that's what's going to happen. And we can make fun and say that the Eagles will have an opportunity to hit Robert Griffin, but The truth is, it goes to the other side of the ball because Michael Vick is going to take his fair share of hits as well.
Sure. Now, that's another issue. How much read option will the Eagles use? That's something that's a part of it. As Chip said, they could do anything. They could go with a drop back with Pat Shurmur, who obviously has the drop back in his back pocket. That's what he's really taught. And then you've got the read option principles that Pat has learned from Chip. So it's going to be fascinating to see what they do with Michael Vick here. And we know one thing, though. With Andy Reid gone and Chip Kelly calling the plays, they're going to run the heck out of the football. That's the biggest difference that you're going to see that we know about. I guarantee you they're going to be running the ball a lot.
And I do have plenty of confidence in Michael Vick on a Monday night at FedEx Field.
We were 3 years ago. It was the best game. I've covered the NFL for 14 years. I've ever seen by a quarterback. When we look at flash plays, unbelievable splash plays. He did everything. It was simply incredible. Something I'll never forget in my career that saw almost 3 years in October, I think, right?
The two most memorable plays of that game were, for me, the first play from scrimmage, the long touchdown
play
to DeSean Jackson.
Play Harbor with a great block, yep.
After D'Angelo Hall had been talking smack to Deshaun in the warm-ups, right. There was a bit of a fracas before the game. Deshaun comes out, scores the touchdown on the opening play. The other play that I remember very vividly, Albert Haynesworth lying on the ground for like 13 seconds after Todd Harriman's blocked him to the ground. And Michael Vick would run in for a touchdown on the play, I think. But that was it was fun to watch Albert Haynesworth just lie there
now,
and make no effort whatsoever.
Albert Haynesworth, he's out of league. He's done. He's definitely not going to play again. But I think when you look at the Redskins, Jim Haslett has a lot of experience against 3-4 defenses. He runs one, and he's got plenty of experience with quarterbacks like Michael Vick, big arm and can move. I'll be interested to see how they defend him because now Brian Arakpo's back from his injury. Carricker is not back from his. He's on the PUP. It's going to be interesting to see the chess match between Jim Haslett, the veteran defensive coordinator, and Chip Kelly, the newbie in the National Football League, but he's bringing his offense here. It's going to be a great chess match.
All right. Now, we talked about linebackers. We talked about corners. Let's talk about safety. We talked about it a little bit before.
It's another position they need to look at. Yeah.
Patrick Chung is a lock.
Yep.
I believe that Colt Anderson is a lock.
Yes.
I believe that Earl Wolf and Nate Allen both will make this team. What do you see about the other two guys there, Kirk Coleman and David Sims?
I think they're only going to keep four. And I think what's going to happen is they're going to look for a veteran, someone. Now, I think they're okay with what they have, but if there's an upgrade out there, they will look at it hard. That's another position. I'd put it down the list. Corner's absolutely number one for this football team, cornerback.
All right. Well, speaking of the safeties, shortly we will hear from Kirk Coleman, who showcased his versatility tonight by playing cornerback when they needed it. He believes that he is a playmaker. He has said all along that he trusts his abilities. He did lead the team in interceptions last year, which was not very many. The Eagles were, I believe, last in the league in interceptions, but he did lead the team in interceptions. He has starting experience. It's interesting to see that he is now fully on the bubble. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a very nervous, I think, 48 hours for Kirk Coleman.
I agree. He's a guy who's been here for a while. This is the final year of his rookie contract, and this one goes down to the wire, I think, with Kirk Coleman. I'm right on the fence. I get Chung, as you said, Allen, Wolf, and Anderson make it. Coleman, is he on the outside looking in? We'll find out within 48 hours.
All right, well, let's hear from Kirk Coleman from the locker room against the New York Jets in the preseason finale.
Talk a little bit about your performance. You had a few catches. You were able to get in there. How you felt going into the game and felt about your performance overall?
The main thing I wanted to do was to play physical and just take advantage of the opportunity. And I feel like I did a decent job with that today. You know, the balls that thrown to me, I caught as many as I could. And I think I did a decent job today. I'm just happy with how I played. So the result from this game, whatever happens, I'll be content with.
Can you talk about your feelings kind of going into this? That was your last chance to prove to the coaches.
Yeah.
Now you're going into the cutdown period. How are you feeling overall? And
yeah, I'm happy because it's a very I had a very slim window to get this opportunity. So I'm very, very happy that I was able to even come out here and be able to play in four NFL games. Also, the opportunity to play with these veterans here. I'm very grateful. You know, great coaching staff, great vets. So regardless of what happens, I'm happy with the experience, and I'll take it, and I'll continue to grow from this experience.
Can you talk about the most important things that you felt you've learned from playing with some of the other veterans and with the coaching staff?
Yeah. The main thing is playing fast. You know, you watch guys like Jason Avon and Riley Cooper and Deshaun. They're always running, whether it's a run play or pass play. That's one thing you got to learn in the NFL is you can't take plays off. And that's one thing I learned pretty quick, especially from the first game. So I think I came out here today and I tried to do that, and I did better. I did better today.
Is that what the part of your skill set that you think's improved the most?
Yeah, playing faster, I think that helped out a lot. And that also that helps you be able to catch balls better and run your routes better when you play fast. So that really, it makes your game better.
Well, it looks like Kurt Coleman has grown considerably in stature. It is preseason for us too, Adam, and so we had a little labeling situation on the back end there. That is Ifeanyi Moma, who is fighting for his roster spot. So we're gonna hear from Kurt Coleman in a little bit. Also Nick Foles and Matt Barkley, and we're still taking your phone calls, 215-320-5170. But before we go to break, we got one more phone call here. Jimmy from Las Vegas, Jimmy the Geek. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Bo. It's not Jimmy the Geek. It's Kurt Coleman.
Oh, boy.
You guys switched to the wrong...
We switched it again. I'm telling you. Is it all right? It's still preseason. We're getting used to the new studio.
Hey, I want to just tell Adam, I thought he did a great job on ESPN.
Thank you. Appreciate that. Thanks.
You need to change your name when you're sitting
next... Oh, boy. Here we go.
To...
Go ahead.
Uh-oh.
No, you're sitting next to Adam
Schefter. Yeah, we need to get nicknames.
What do you think, Adam? And you guys are each like looking at each other. Look.
Cappy and Cappy.
I call him Chef. Yeah, we, they call him Chef. I call him Chef.
He's my buddy.
Well,
I gotta
get something.
I
don't even actually know him that well, but we're getting to know each other. He's a good guy, and it is a fun show. But what's on your mind tonight, my friend?
Yeah, look, it's Jimmy the Geek, you guys, not Jimmy from Las Vegas. I have a reputation to keep up. This is how you do the cuts. You do a reverse draft. You take all the bubble boys and you look around the league to see who's being released, and you make those calls and you bring them in. I'm tired of try hard guys. You guys have mentioned a couple. Is this guy going to make it? I think McCoy, for example, is an outside linebacker, looks like a giraffe on roller skates out there.
Are you telling me that he doesn't try hard?
No, he's a try-hard guy. That's the problem.
Actually, he's more than a try-hard guy. I totally disagree.
He's got some serious legs.
He has edge pressure. That's why he's here. That's why they liked him. I can tell you that as a fact.
I'm using McCoy as an example.
Yeah, he's better than just a guy.
There was a move yesterday or 2 days ago when San Francisco released their outside linebacker.
They traded Parrish House into the Niners.
Exactly.
I believe that was a scoop broken by Adam Kaplan.
Yeah, what it was is they were going to cut him, and he's an older guy. He turns 30 in January. That one's, I have to tell you, that one, when I got wind of it, that they had him on the trade block, I thought it was ridiculous. This guy's a proven pass rusher, but they wanted to go younger, and that's the way the league is these days. It's all about youth and speed, and Harrison did not play last season with a torn triceps.
Besides my reverse draft, I would move Graham back inside, and I would take advantage of Kendrick's speed outside, because I think that he's getting lost, in all these linemen.
Did you watch last week against the Jaguars? Kendrick's was all over the field.
Yeah, I watched the NFL replay of it, without the emotion of it being the same day or the day after. And I'm talking about long term. I'm talking about being able to have gap responsibilities, inside. I think Graham will stick his face in there. I think that we're asking too much of him to cover in space.
Yeah, but Graham's
not asking too much. You're not asking too much of him to move him to inside linebacker.
Graham's not an inside linebacker, Jimmy. What are you doing? Come on, man.
You're asking for input. I'm trying to give you some out of the box thoughts.
Okay.
On this.
That's fine. Hey, more power to you. But that's one
moment
that will not.
Safety.
Yeah.
Do you think how do we get 300, almost 400 total yards run up on us against the New York Jets, who are fielding, the third or fourth level quarterback?
Listen,
didn't see the game.
Jimmy, this game matters because guys are fighting for their NFL lives. But the guys who are playing on defense tonight, there's maybe two or three of them who are even going to see the field in the regular season.
But you guys are going back and forth on, what about this receiver or that receiver or Tucker, for example, who has two touchdowns. Do you really think that Tucker is going to stick the backfield with Bryce?
No, I don't. I didn't agree with Bo there. I thought that.
I didn't say he was going to make it. I said he made a case to make it.
Yeah, I don't think he's making it. Now, you brought this up earlier, Jimmy. Thanks for the phone call. This was actually a good point. and he Jimmy talked about it, about keeping just guys, okay? Well, Greg Salas, this guy's bounced around. He obviously had a good camp. He kind of worked his way up the roster. I get that part of it. But what could he really do for you? They're not going to be running five receiver sets. Unless somebody gets hurt, he's not going to touch the
field.
Well,
that's the whole point.
Now, I thought you were interested. You asked me, could they keep four? You said less than five, and I'm like, that's crazy. You know, they've done it here before under Andy Reid, but that's a little risky. But again, is Greg Salas what is he giving you? We already talked about how Shepard gives a little bit more versatility. He also could play. He's a very good special teams player. So, I think that's a good debate. It's probably something they'll talk about because cornerback is a major weakness for this football team. And if they could get six good corners, they would do it. Right now, you're trying to figure out who your four are. You have three. Who's your fourth right now? And it's not easy to figure that out because of injury.
The other thing that Jimmy brought up that I want to ask you about is, you know, he mentioned a reverse draft board. I'm not sure exactly what he was talking about. But that is how this is set up for the Eagles. In their war room right now, they have guys who they expect to maybe shake loose from other rosters. Mm-hmm. They've got a big board with guys who will become top priorities. Is that right?
Yeah, Howie talked about it, actually, that, you know, they have – and Tom Gamble did, actually, when we were able to meet with him and the rest of the personnel staff.
Right.
How they have their free agent board. And then they're always studying rosters, pro personnel people. They look at every single team. If they go by tape, who's coming in last, who doesn't look like they're probably going to stick. And those are the guys that they'll target if there's a position they have of need. And that's when they look at what they have of depth, and we've talked about defensive line. That's the strongest position on this football team. And who are guys that are fringe players like Danny Watkins, who sort of got a little better the last couple games, and Chip was asked about it. Seems like he's right in the middle there. It's going to be very, very close to where he makes his football team. The biggest problem he has no versatility. He's a guard. You're not going to play him anywhere else. You wonder, does he have any value? At 29 years old, you have to find a team that actually liked him in the draft. That's something that the Eagles probably will look at if they decide to look to trade him.
All right. Well, still more to come here on the post-game show presented by Rico. We'll hear from both quarterbacks who played tonight against the New York Jets, and we're still taking your phone calls. 215-320-5170. I got it memorized already. Bo Wolf and Adam Kaplan on the other side.
He drops into the end zone. He pumps. He looks. He is going deep. And the pass is caught by Deshaun Jackson.
Hi, I'm Deshaun Jackson. You're watching Philadelphia Eagles. Viacom.
Back in the day, I busted up some plays, but you'll never find me in busted coverage because I have auto insurance from AAA. AAA gives this safety blanket coverage and saves me my favorite color, green. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Eagles fans, join me, Jason Avant, for dinner in the Eagles locker room, prepared by world-famous chef Georges Perrier. Win this and many other unique items by tuning into Eagles Radiothon, Sports Radio 94 WIP, September 3rd and 4th. All proceeds benefit Eagles Youth Partnership. Thank you.
You can't find a great doctor just anywhere.
Sure you can.
Specialists?
Yep.
Primary care?
You bet.
Jefferson Doctors?
Take a look at this.
Excellent doctors, lots of locations. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW.
Wow. That's a good number.
1-800-JEFF-NOW? It sure is.
I meant a good number of doctors.
I meant a good number for doctors.
I've got a feeling this could go on for a while.
No, it can't. You'll interrupt the announcer.
Find a Jefferson doctor. Call 1-800-JEFF-NOW for an appointment.
We'd love to hear what you think about the X1 platform. Give me something to search.
Mindy Kaling.
Sure, let's do that.
Awesome. It's everything me all in one place.
Check this out. This is great. What should I watch?
The Mindy Project.
Okay, I wasn't even asking you. The X1 recommends things based on stuff I've watched. So.
The Mindy Project.
Okay, you'd search by genre if you
Mindy Kaling cute. Okay, I'm just gonna take this. Mindy Kaling sexy.
Recommendations, search, and voice control. All part of the X1 platform. Your entertainment operating system. Only from Xfinity.
Together we make the NFL Ticket Exchange the only place to buy and sell verified authentic NFL tickets. Which means we make sure your name is on your ticket.
Enjoy the game, Gary.
Guaranteeing the day belongs to you. We make memories guaranteed. With your name written all over them. NFL Ticket Exchange. Together, we make football.
These days you can find me on the road, at the movies,
shopping, or traveling. And I do it all with AAA. For roadside assistance, discounts, and travel planning, AAA has you covered. AAA, use it for all it's worth.
Hey fans, I'm Brian Westbrook, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And we are back here on the postgame show presented by Rico, Bo Wolf and Adam Kaplan after the Eagles fall 27-20 in the preseason finale. Nick Foles, not a great night for the number two quarterback for the Eagles, who started and played the entire first half. He was not protected very well by the offensive line under constant pressure, but he was 6 of 17 for 63 yards and a 46.9 quarterback rating. Was not able to do much. Not the Nick Foles we've seen through the first three games of the preseason. So we talked to Mr. Foles in the locker room after the game as he reacts to a disappointing end to the preseason.
So they played a pretty vanilla defense. They did show some blitzes. Were those blitzes that they showed sort of basic?
I mean, they were more of their. They're not going to bring their exact their blitzes right now, but you know, we got to capitalize when they blitz.
Have you sketched out a plan with the coaches, kind of what you're going to do here going forward to make sure you improve and get enough reps without playing on Sundays?
Not exactly yet. That'll be something we do now because, you know, we just finished. But I already in my mind have something in place. I the extra things, obviously we'll do stuff while we're at the facility. But then, you know, it's when we're leaving, you know, staying extra, doing stuff. I already have that in my mind and just got to keep pushing and keep working extra.
All right, so not a very happy Nick Foles as he prepares for the regular season. Back to the phone lines now. Michael from New York, who wants to talk about Ifeanyi Mahoma.
Okay.
What's up, Michael?
Hey, hi guys. How you doing?
What's up, man?
Good. How you doing?
I was just wondering, how many receivers do you think we're going to keep on the team?
Well, we've been talking about this. I think the Vegas odds would tell you that it'll be five, but they could go six and they could go four.
Because I really wanted to see Ifeanyi Mahoma and Jeff Mail to make this team. I really like what Ifeanyi Mahoma brings with his height. Even though I don't know if he showed enough during the preseason, but I just like him because of his height, a red zone threat.
I think that Mahoma, he has an uphill battle to make the 53-man roster. I think his sights are probably set on the practice squad. He just has too far to come before he can be a productive, trustworthy NFL receiver. Now, I will say this. There was a moment tonight where Chip Kelly took Mahoma aside. I think it was after the fourth down that they were unable to convert, and he was in Mahoma's face because he didn't run the right route. You can take that one of two ways. You could take that as he's not ready to play, but also Chip probably doesn't care about correcting Ifeanyi Mahoma if he's never going to see him again after tonight.
Well, it's about coaching. He's coaching him up. Obviously, he's getting in his ear. The thing about Mahoma is we know he has good downfield speed, rare speed for a guy who's tall. He's a completely developmental player who needs a lot of work. Chip talked about in the press conference how, you know, he'd been out of football. He's just getting back. We get all that. And that's why he, as you said, and you're right, the only thing he's got a prayer to do here would be on a practice squad. We could try to develop him. The other problem that you have is he has to go through waivers. And you have to understand that the Eagles had a ton of competition for him. Because he worked out for a bunch of teams, but then the Eagles were able to give him a little money, and he came here, and he's a great kid. You root for him, but the fact of the matter is he's not ready to play, I don't think. He needs further development. That's what a practice squad, the eight-man practice squad is for. We'll see. I mean, waivers are coming here. Sunday, 12 p.m. Eastern is when you can start building your
practice squad. Now, you are the king of the contract details. Mm-hmm. The fact that they gave him extra money to lure him here, does that mean that there's a better chance he makes the practice squad?
No, because what happens is the contract is terminated once he gets waived and it clears. Then he's free to sign anywhere. He can go to anyone's practice squad or anyone's 53. But the fact of the matter is, I think he's a guy that he needs a couple years. In fact, he needs 1 year on the practice squad where they can work on his route running. Getting off press coverage has been a big issue for him because once he gets started, something we noticed in training camp, once he gets 10 yards down, he starts building up that, he's got that straight line build-up speed, and then he could run by you. And he's got long arms, which you absolutely love, but he's just not ready yet.
Now, one of the questions that was asked of Chip Kelly after the game tonight during his press conference was comparing MoMA and Michael Bimiro, two guys who came here under interesting circumstances.
Yeah.
MoMA, of course, had the entire year off after tearing his ACL, his first game of his senior season at Boston College, then came here. He's got a long way to go. Michael Bimiro is a little bit different story. He went to Stony Brook, which is not a football powerhouse. He was declared ineligible for his final season, so he became a free agent. The Eagles signed him. He came to training camp. He didn't have the spring. He looked bad. And I talked to him about this. He admitted that he was swimming those first couple days. He could not believe how overmatched he was. The first preseason game, he did not look very good against the New England Patriots. And then somewhere along the line, the lights sort of clicked on for him, and he began to really make strides, so much so that I think now he's got a real fighting chance of being on this roster as sort of, you know, the role that Nate Mankin was last year, the developmental offensive lineman guy who's probably not going to be active on game day but has a future.
Okay, three things here, three takeaways on Michael Bimiro. You talked about some where the light went on. Well, I'll tell you what happened. He got in shape. Okay, he's dropped some weight. His footwork is much better. His technique is better. He's got a long way to go. He's got a great coach in Jeff Stoutland. Now, the second takeaway is the Eagles had structured this contract. They put in offset language, which means if they cut him and the contract's claimed by another team, they don't owe him anything, number one. Number two, if they cut him but another team signs him, they don't owe him that base guarantee. I think it's like maybe 80,000, 90,000. I can't remember.
Okay.
But the fact of the matter is they were smart about it. They knew there was a possibility because he's a truly developmental player. And the third thing is Chip loves big players. He said big players beat up little players. This kid, very, very high character, great kid, wants to do well and is working really hard, and he's got a shot. I'm with you. I think he makes it. But here's the next question. If you have a guy on a 53-man roster, you always have to think this guy could potentially play. Is he ready to go in a National Football League game in the regular season if in an emergency situation, if he had to play? That's the tough call that you have. You'd rather have him on the practice squad. It's a very tough call because over the last 3 weeks, he's made tremendous progress, but I just don't know if you could dress him on game day. Clearly, he's not going to be ready to be on the active roster. He'll be one of the guys you have inactive.
Right.
But is he ready to dress on game day? Probably not yet.
All right. Now I wrote about Bimiro, his sort of, you know, him coming together during preseason.
Yeah, a couple weeks.
And Pat Shurmur said nice things about him, said that you can see the future for this guy.
Mm-hmm.
5 years down the road, he could be as good as any tackle in the league.
Did he
really
say that?
Now, the other thing is... Yeah, in so many words.
Really? Well,
the other thing is you mentioned Jeff Stoutland. Yeah. Also, Trey Thomas, who's here and is now here for the remainder of the regular season.
Good story.
He's one of the guys who helped Bimiro before
he
was signed.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So that's a guy
seven
who's working with him.
Seven Deuce Sports or something?
Yeah, I believe that's right.
Yeah, something like that.
And so he's a guy who has similar physical characteristics to Bimiro. So
it's actually tall.
That helps
actually, Trey's what, 6'8", 6'9"?
I believe that's 6'8". He's not 6'9".
Okay. Bimiro's 6'9".
Yeah.
6'8", 6'9". So... But Trey was an elite athlete coming out of Florida State. Michael is just, you know, he came here about 350. He's had to drop weight. He's doing it. It's a good story. I think they're on the right track with him. They're starting now to see what they thought they were getting.
It's so funny how tonight we find ourselves talking all about guys like Jeff Mayle and Afani Moma and Michael Bimiro.
I'm into this, man.
And I love it. This is the roster minutia that we love.
Sure.
But come next week, we're not going to be talking about any of these guys.
No, but I remember you and I
talking about Michael
Vick
and LeSean McCoy.
That's correct, against the Redskins. But you and I, last summer, we did the Jets-Eagles traditional, the annual.
It's my favorite show of the year.
Fourth preseason game. And we were talking about the potential roster cuts. Now, you look at it, it's even harder. This is the hardest I've had doing this because you make a case for a lot of guys, and you go, this guy shouldn't be on the roster, but there's an opportunity here. So there's going to be a lot of roster movement, not only with this team. I think they're going to be bringing other players that we haven't even thought about. That'll come on Sunday and Monday. And one other thing we need to crowbar in here, it's extremely important. Vested veterans, their base salary, they can take termination pay. So you don't want to have them on your week one roster if you're not totally sure they deserve to be here. Those guys will come in here week two. So if there's a couple vested veterans on here, they're not sure if they want to keep. You may see those guys cut and they come back, but there are not a lot of guys like that. But the guys from other teams that will get cut that they'll bring in week two or further.
All right. Now, speaking of the importance of the preseason versus the regular season, Matt Barkley played tonight the entire second half. Maybe his last game action of the 2013 season. He is the number three quarterback going into the season. So what does the fourth round pick think of maybe his last action after the preseason finale?
It's kind of been all over the place, just trying to grow because, you know, it's a different kind of rhythm that you have to try to get into, as opposed to, you know, starting a game and going in and feeling that rhythm the whole game. It's kind of bits and pieces. And so I think I've managed to do, you know, as best a job I can as growing and learning and feeling more comfortable with the offense and seeing hots and whatnot, managing the offense.
How do you grow from this point on, being that you're probably not going to see some action for a while, barring an injury?
Yeah, just learning as much as I can from Mike and every install, preparing like I'm going to start.
And what do you think about the offense, and how ready is this team for week one, Monday Night Football?
I think it's going to be explosive, and it's going to be fun to watch. And it'll be exciting to see those guys, every week doing work.
All right, so good stuff from Matt Barkley. Now, I think there's one more guy we want to hear from over at MetLife Stadium. That would be Kurt Coleman, who we talked about. We tossed to before. It turned out to be a surprise appearance from our friend Ifeanyi Moma.
Sure.
But Kurt Coleman played both cornerback and safety tonight. He is a guy who is squarely on the roster bubble. Let's find out what he said and what is going to be a tense 48 hours. All right, well, we're not quite ready for Kurt Coleman
Number yet, 42, so. Kurt Coleman on the final year of his rookie deal. And this is a guy that's been a starter. He's lost his job. He's come back. He had a lot of interceptions. He's a guy, you know, he's just very up and down. But in his defense, I have to tell you, with the problems last year with the defensive scheme and things just weren't working out with the coaches, I don't want to put it all on him. I know he's been sort of like the guy that the fans like to beat up on. But he's a guy that takes it, and he's a hard worker. He's a good guy. I realistically, it's going to be hard for him to make it. He's gone through a lot here, and I wish him well. If he makes it, he's a guy that is going to make it because he could play free or strong safety. He could play special teams. He does offer.
He's a good special teamer.
It's a thing that we need to talk about. He does offer the ability to play in the box, deep, and special teams. That's why, if he makes it, he has three things that he could give them. But most of the safeties they have on the roster actually can't do that. Just that I think the other guys are probably a little bit more talented.
All right. Well, I have some bad news for you, Adam, and I have some bad news for the viewers. Unfortunately, we do not have Kurt Coleman from MetLife Stadium. What we do have is the fifth-round rookie,
Number 28.
Wolf, the Wolfman, my fellow member of the Wolfpack, although not NC State
different
Wolfpack.
Spelling.
That's much different.
Yes.
I'm a Demon Deacon
you have an odd
through and
spelling.
Through. You know that. So is Earl Wolf. What are you trying to say?
Oh, two Fs. Right. You have a U. I got it.
Yeah, the U is classic.
Where's the W-O here? We don't have W-O in the room.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. We're not animals
here.
We're human beings.
Really?
Yes.
Thank you.
All right. Well, let's find out what Earl Wolf had to say after the preseason game. He is fighting for a starting job. Will it be him or Nate Allen in week one? What does he think?
Earl, you came in tonight, you know, still kind of in the competition for the starting job. How do you feel you did in light of that?
I feel like I did okay. Like I said, I always feel like I can get better, man. Made a couple, I guess, okay tackles, you know, decent tackles. I feel like consistency is still like I kind of tune. Basically, I need to be ready for motion. Like anytime we get a motion, I gotta. You know, we have different checks. I would say about one or two times I messed up on that. Like I said, so and my thing is to get better every game and just you know and stay consistent. You know, consistency is my thing when it comes to you know things of that nature.
Do you think the coaches can trust you to put you out there game one starting?
I'm not sure. Like I said, I feel like what I put on film was you know was pretty decent and you know I'll see basically the outcome of all that.
I feel like you had a really good game in terms of being a solid wrap-up tackler, getting the ball, making sure you were in space and there's nobody else there. And I think on the play in the second quarter against Obamanu, you read, you got there, and you made the tackle. Can you just talk a little bit like how you feel as the strength of your game or what you saw in those plays?
Like I said, I feel like I made some pretty solid tackles. Tackling is my thing. Like I said, effort. You know, I love the game of football, and I show it through the way I play. So. As, like you said, you know, I made some, you know, pretty decent tackles, but I always feel like I can get better, you know, on everything. So.
There's a plan to get Nate out of there first, and then to get you out of there, and I guess in the middle of the first is when I think you stopped playing. Was that the plan all along? The middle of the second, I'm sorry.
I'm not exactly sure, you know, because I played some in third and fourth too.
Oh, did you? Okay,
yeah, I played some in the third and fourth too. So I'm not really sure, you know, how everything went. Like I said, you know, I'm just a rookie, and they had me out there. I played all four quarters. You know, and like I said, and basically when I'm on the field, my goal is to be, you know, by the ball, you know, every single play, and I feel like I did that there.
That is Earl Wolf. This is Bo Wolf. That is Adam Kaplan. And we are taking One final commercial break here on the postgame show presented by Rico before we close up shop on the other side.
What celebrity do you get mistaken for?
Oh, well, this will be a Napoleon Dynamite for sure.
You don't want to get an animal into a camera shot with you because you have no idea what they're going to do. Right. It seems to me like you haven't been in the league that long, and yet now you're the old man. Is that how that works?
Yeah, that's what it seems like.
What do you miss about football?
Besides the paycheck?
You probably would have got smoked, Doc.
Bam!
Caramel mocha.
Caramel almond.
Caramel turtle.
That would have been awkward.
With Dunkin's caramel iced coffee flavors, there are more ways than ever to love caramel. Try the new caramel coconut today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Hey Eagles fans, your daughter can win a chance to cheer on the field with the Philadelphia Eagles cheerleaders.
Or have your photo taken with the whole squad.
By tuning in to the 2013 Eagles Radiothon.
On Sports Radio 94 WIP, September 3rd and 4th.
And all proceeds benefit Eagles Youth Partnership.
Go, go Eagles! Eagles!
At Sports Authority, we have all the name brands you love, like Nike, Under Armour, Adidas, and The North Face. We carry fitness equipment, camping, bikes, baseball, and more. We offer a rewards program, The League, which earns you 5% back. And we'll match prices with our ad price match promise. So why do we do it? Because we love sports just as much as you do. All the best brands, all the best value. Sports Authority, all things sporting good.
When you experience something great, you want to share it with everyone. That's why more customers recommend Verizon, America's largest 4G LTE network. Countless reasons, one choice. That's powerful. Verizon.
Grandma, your biscuits are the best.
No, these are from Dunkin'.
Granny!
I have a life, you know. That's for me.
Dunkin's new chicken biscuit sandwich is a tender chicken filet on a southern style biscuit. Grab one for $2.99 today. America runs on Dunkin'.
Hey Eagles fans, this is Brian Dawkins, and you're watching PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
And welcome back to the postgame show presented by Rico. Bo Wolf and Adam Kaplan getting ready to close things down here as we wait for one of the more anticipated 48-hour periods yes. of the NFL season. The roster cuts coming, the cut to 53 by 6 p.m. on Saturday. We'll probably hear a few cuts tomorrow, sprinkle through, and then the majority of them come Saturday. And then on Sunday, there will still be plenty of action for this Eagles team. But Adam, I want to hear, before we close, what is the one most interesting storyline you think that you're going to be following with this Eagles team as the roster gets cut down over the next couple days?
The numbers game. It's by position. How many are they going to keep at certain positions? Cornerback is huge. We've talked about it. It's the biggest weakness on defense. How many do you keep there? How many do you keep on the defensive line? Vinny Curry, you and I have been debating. It's been great. It's been a good discussion. The fans obviously have been involved in it as well. And then, really, on offense, what are we going to see in week one? That's the, to me, for that game, what are they going to do on offense? Defensively, I know what they like to do. They really want to run the Pittsburgh defense, really a true 3-4, moving guys around. We may see that, and that's one thing we really haven't talked about from Billy Davis. I look forward to seeing that. But offensively, how much is Chip going to take from the Oregon offense? And that's the biggest mystery here. No one knows. It's like guarded. It's like this guarded secret. And I can't wait to see it Monday night against the Washington Redskins.
I'm interested to see, you know, how many undrafted rookies are going to make this team. Mm-hmm. Could be as many as five guys making the roster. And we talked about this during the NFL draft. It was interesting to see. This was our first clue. First, there was the free agency period, then the NFL draft. It was our clues to how Chip Kelly wants to build a roster. He has said that he has final control over the makeup of this 53-man roster. So now we get to see what kind of roster he wants to take into the regular season. Does he go heavy at a couple positions and light at a couple others? That's what's going
to
be interesting.
That's what's hard to do.
We look at this through the prism of the last 13 years of Eagles football. Well, this is a new era. Maybe there's going to be 11 offensive linemen on
the roster. It's a great point, man. This has been the hardest thing when you and I were talking during the game. Okay, how many are going to keep this position, that position? We don't know what Chip wants. We know what the type of player he wants physically, wants a bigger player, rather than the Andy Reid, smaller, faster player. But we have no idea what he prefers. We know that he likes to tight end will be big in this offense. I think we would all agree. How much is the receiver going to be big in this offense? Well, if the receiver will not be, does he keep four? Defensive line, he's got to talk to Billy Davis about this. How many guys does Billy Davis prefer? That's another thing he's got to do, Chip. Got to get with his coaches. He does this every day. And they have to get together with the personnel staff and kind of figure it out. But Chip, in the end, he's got to feel comfortable with depth. And he's got to listen to the personnel staff and coaching staff, because a lot of these guys have been in the NFL for a long time. This is the first time Chip has ever done this in the National Football League. It's a different mindset than he had at Oregon.
Well, it should make for a fascinating next 48 hours here on PhiladelphiaEagles.com. We will keep you covered with all the breaking news. Also, follow us on Twitter at Eagles Insider and at Eagles. Follow Adam Kaplan at Kaplan NFL. And that will do it. I'm Bo Wolf. That is Adam Kaplan, ESPN's Adam Kaplan. Thanks for slumming
Thank
it with
you.
Us at PhiladelphiaEagles.com.
I'm a contributor, yes.
Don't forget us little guys.
I want my
make
friend.
It all the way to the top. All right, well,
no
that
problem.
Does it. Big decisions ahead for this Eagles team as we prepare for the very first regular season under Chip Kelly. The season opener, September 9th, 7 p.m. at FedEx Field.